And let's pray for the kids as they head out to Sunday school. They may have already gone, but we're going to pray for them nonetheless. Heavenly Father, we thank you for fresh starts. We thank you for this new year, Lord God, and we just want to give it to you. Father, we thank you for these children. Thank you for blessing us with your children. And Lord God, help us as a body, help nurture them, love them, and point them to you so that they grow in a powerful way in your name, Jesus. And so we give them to you this year and this time this morning. And Lord, as we just come before you, I pray now that you use me despite my weaknesses, that this just be all about you, Father God. That this year that we can just turn to you more and more. God, and as we just look at your word this morning, let's open our eyes and hearts just to know you more, Father God. In your name, amen. So, who stayed up till after midnight? Yeah, a few of you. Nice. We didn't. We thought, we don't have to. The kids are, you know, not at that stage where they're going to stay up that late. So we're thinking, well, if they're not staying up, why should we? So in a few years, we'll get to that point where we go, okay, we'll have to stay up. But not yet. So we're enjoying going to bed at like 11 o'clock and then waking up at midnight when, you know, the fireworks go off and go, well, we should have stayed up anyway. But here we go. New Year's. You know, I never used to really appreciate New Year's, but the last few years, I have. I kind of enjoy this kind of fresh beginnings. I love to dream with people. So I love to ask people, okay, New Year, what's your goals? What's your dreams? And to dream with them. And especially when it comes to New Year's, you know, you hear of the, in many of them, the okay, this year, I'm going to eat healthy. 2019, I'm going to eat at least one salad. This is it. You know? I could do it. Maybe not. I don't know. But you hear those, you know, 2019, I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to go to the gym. You know, this is it. Or you hear people say, I'm going to read more this year. I'm going to pick up a book and I'm going to do it. I'm going to finish it. I may even read 3 books this year. Could do. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about you. Yeah, forget me. And we're good at setting those goals, and so we should do. But quite often it's heavily focused on the physical or the mental, which is good. But sometimes we also need to go, okay, what is your spiritual goal 2019? What is your, have you set that? Have you even thought about that? Because we're very good at doing, this year I'm going on holiday. This year maybe I'm having a new career change. You know, those radical ones there. But have we thought, okay, about my spiritual health? 2019, what are my goals? What am I setting there? And you may have already got that. You go, yeah, this year I'm going to read the Bible in its entirety. Good for you. Maybe it's prayer. You've seen other people pray. You've heard about, you know, heard other people pray and go, man, they've got a connection there with God. And for whatever reason, maybe you've always struggled with the idea of prayer. And you may have gone, 2019, I just want to love to just to get into what it means to pray or to read my Bible. Or join or get more connected in a connect group or a study group, you know, or whether it's giving of yourself more. You've already set yourself a target of whether it's financial or it's of yourself, that you've set yourself these goals of, I'm going to give of myself or I'm going to serve more this year. Maybe it's a fruit of the Spirit. Maybe you look back at last year and go, yeah, I could probably do with some more peace this year or some more patience. 2019, I'm going to be more patient than I was last year. And that's all good, but ultimately, you need to have a purpose in doing this. You need to believe in the purpose of what you're doing. Because like, if you take the weight loss one, if you don't really believe in why you're doing it, you probably won't do it very well. And that's for me anyway. If I'm not going to listen to, you know, my wife saying, oh, this year could be the year, Johnny. Or the doctor saying, yeah, this year's the year. If I'm not going to believe in them or the purpose of the physical look or the health part of it, I'm probably not going to stick to it very well. And I think the same goes with the spiritual. Is if you don't really believe in why you're going to read your Bible more this year, you're probably not going to read your Bible more this year. If you don't really see the purpose of why you should pray more this year, you're probably not going to do it. We got to believe in that purpose. It's not good enough to go, well, I'm going to read the Bible more this year just so I'm better than I was in 2018. Or I'm going to be way more humbler than I was in 2018. Oh, you bet you. By the end of 2019, I'm going to be the greatest, humblest person you'll ever see. Probably won't work. It needs to have purpose. And for me, the purpose is for us to grow in our spiritual maturity. The purpose of reading your Bible more maybe this year, worshiping more, praying more, giving of yourself more is so that you grow more in this relationship with the God who is saying that we're going to be with him for eternity. To grow in that relationship. And you may go, okay, that's good. I want to grow in this relationship. I'm going to spend eternity with Jesus, so that's a good reason. I get that. Okay, I'm going to do something radical. I'm going to go on a month's missions trip to Papua New Guinea or Africa, or this is it. This is the year I'm going to do that because I'm going to grow in my relationship with Jesus. True, you would. I'm sure you would, and you have a great time. Or maybe, again, I'm going to do something radical. But what my call for all of us this year, or my encouragement / challenge, is something that we're all called to do. Because we're not all called to go to Papua New Guinea. Some of us maybe are, or maybe it's here locally. But we're all called to do something that Jesus calls us to do. And that is surrender. And that's why that is our overarching theme of 2019 is surrender. Because God puts that call to us. In fact, if you turn to Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 to 26, in the NIV, it says, when Jesus turned to his disciples, he says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? You know, when we set our goals for the year, quite often, if we're honest, it's the gaining the whole world. It's the, okay, I'm going to do something big. You know, Johnny, your name's going to get bigger. You know, it's about you. It's about what you can do. When really Jesus is saying, actually, how about this year you make it less about you and more about me? I mean, if we think about, you know, one story to help us there is when the paralyzed man was lowered to Jesus through that roof. And when he was with Jesus, first thing he did was, son, your sins are forgiven. Then pick up your mat and walk. There was a priority sequence there. That first, we got to get your soul. We got that spiritual stuff. We got to get that set. We got to get that right. Because there's no good going, okay, you're good, you're healed, and he leaves, and he gets run over by a horse and cart or something, and then go, oh, should have probably done the spiritual side. There's a priority element to it. And Jesus said, whoever wants to be a disciple, so whoever wants to be a follower, if you call yourself a Christian, that's what that is. That's more than just John 3:16. That's more than just saying, hands up, yes, I believe. It's, are you following? And Jesus said, if that's so, then you've got to deny yourself. You've got to make it a little bit less about you. So this passage was a real challenge to me at the back end of this year. Because one evening, Jen and I were just watching TV. Can't remember what we were watching. And the evening was just passing by. I don't know if you have some of those evenings where you get home, and sometimes, you know, once we got the kids in bed, there are some times we go, oh, let's just put something on. And at times, the evening just could go by. And I remember sitting there. In fact, if I'm honest, as I look back on my 2018, my prayer journal that I've been doing, so often in my prayer journal throughout last year was, give more time. Stop filling your mind with other stuff. Fill it with Jesus. And I didn't do much about it. And as I sat there, just towards the back end of the year, we were just watching something, this passage jumped to me, and then I scrolled to it on my phone. And I thought, you know, Johnny, if someone would say to you, would you give your life to Christ? You'd say yes. And I'm sure many here would say, absolutely, I would give my life for Jesus. But would you give the ordinary? Would you give your mundane moments? It's one thing to say, Jesus, I would be radical. If someone came in here and say, would you accept Christ? Do you live for Christ? And if so, would you willing to die? Some of us would say, oh yeah, I'd be there. But would we be willing to give those ordinary moments that quite often we protect and say, no, no, this is my time. This is my chill out time. This is my family time. This is my whatever it is time, my tradition, whatever it might be. That too often we can go, yeah, absolutely, I'll serve in church once a week, or absolutely, I'll read my Bible a little bit. But the rest of it's mine. And I feel that was the challenge that God has put in my heart is, logically, Johnny, does that make sense? Does it make sense to say, absolutely, I would deny my life for you, but not the ordinary? Not the 90% of my life that really, you know, the things that I think about, dream about, watch, consume, whether you read a lot, whatever it might be. The stuff that we fill ourselves with, that if we're honest, aren't really that life-giving. The stuff that we consume ourselves that really, if we reflect and we go, okay, it might have been a funny comedy show, you know, I might have been laughing a lot, but was that life-giving? Now, you may be all different. It may just be me. You may be all, no, I'm happy to have the ordinary and just watch whatever I want to watch and do whatever I want to do, but absolutely, I'll give my life to Jesus if someone came in here and put that pressure on me. But I have to be honest with myself and go, you can't just say, yes, I'd be radical if I'm not willing to say, Jesus, take even the ordinary, the mundane. The question is, why would you do that? Why would you turn that TV off and go, Jesus, I just want to read more of you. I want to just pray right now. I just want to listen to worship. Why would we do that? And my ultimate response to myself when I questioned it was, because Jesus surely is worth it. Jesus surely is worthy of me giving up not just the once a week trip to wherever, but the always, the stuff that consumes me. I started to go back into meditating on Scripture because in Psalm 1 it talks about the one that meditates on the Scripture, on the law day and night, is like that tree, which is what we put the logo for, that tree that is by that water, that's roots that dig deep, that bears its fruits in all seasons. The reason why it has those roots and bears those fruits in all seasons is because it's in the Word. It's being consumed, dwelling in God. And I can't do that if I'm filling it with other stuff. And so I started going back into this, and I chose Colossians for my own personal time of just meditating on the Word. And it was amazing as I've been doing this and feeling so much better that as I started to look through our reading plan this year, if anyone's picked it up, the first day was Colossians 1, verse 15 to 19. And that's what we can look at for a few minutes because it answers perfectly the why would you give up those ordinary moments, the TV moments, the reading other stuff moments, whatever it might be that you do, that if you're honest was, that's not probably life-giving. And this answers it. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 19, it says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. In him, all things were created, things in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, powers, rulers, or authorities, all things were made through him and for him. He was before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church, the beginning and the firstborn from amongst the dead, so that in that everything he may have supremacy. And God was pleased to have his fullness dwell in him. And as I just meditated on that, I was like, that's why That's why we say we surrender. That's why we say take it, because he is that good. I mean, if you just break this down and go, one minute, I read in Genesis 1 that you made humans in our image. And you read that and go, okay, God, who are you talking to? And then you read here in Colossians and go, I see how you've weaved that together, that you're talking about your Son. That the Son is the image of the invisible God. He's before all things, greater than all things. You know, this is a great passage to have in your back pocket for when those people who knock on your door and they say, hey, you Christians believe in the Trinity. Show me where the Trinity is in the Bible. Well, here it is. Here's your picture of the Trinity. Here's your picture that Jesus is before all things. That he holds all things together. When you're going through a difficult, rough patch, he can hold you together when we cry out to him. He's that good. He's that great. He is that supreme over all things, over all rulers, over all authorities. He is that good. And not only is he there, but he's also the head of the church. So that should get us excited when we say, hey, congregation, let's get together and pray. Let's communicate with the head of the church. Let's just have moments of stillness and allow the head of the church to speak to us as his people, to encourage us, to direct us, to fill us. What a great thing to be able to say at the end of 2019 is, boy, we're filled more by Jesus. We're closer to him than we ever were before. The first amongst the dead, and I wrestle thinking, that sounds weird. What does that mean? Well, he's the first man that rose to life everlasting, and those who follow him will also have that. And he has the fullness of God dwelling in him. He is so supreme. He is so mighty. But then we're talking about surrender. And why we surrender is we read that in verse 20. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. The ultimate picture of surrender is Jesus. Now here's the thing. When we think of the word surrender, we think of weakness. We think of defeat. The white flag. What a weird thing to say. 2019, surrender. That's opposite to everything else we're hearing about. 2019, it's all about you. You can do it. Whereas 2019, Jesus is saying, actually, it's time to surrender. When we think of surrender of Jesus, I don't think of weakness. He could have easily, on the night he was betrayed, ran off into the woods, hid, fight back. No, he was okay. Okay, guys, let's do this. Because he knew the big picture. He knew that what he was doing was for us. And so when we say we surrender to Jesus, I believe that's an act of strength. That's an act of going, actually, I'm going to go against what the world is teaching me, that I can do it all on my own, and say, God, there are moments, if I'm honest this year, that I was weak. I need you. I can't do this on my own strength. I need you to fill me. I need that peace that is beyond understanding. I need you, Father God. It's amazing as I was reading through this plan that a couple of weeks ago we said that we're probably not going to be preaching from this reading plan, but we're fickle, we can change our mind. And we did. And so this plan is called One Story. And we're going to do it like we did a couple of years ago when we went through a reading plan where we encourage people. It's like 10, 15 minutes a day, which should only be a little portion of what we should be doing. It's easy. I've done this first week, and it's amazing how it weaves. You'll read a chapter in the Old Testament, looks like, and it'll weave Scripture in the New Testament, and you'll read probably a chapter of the Old Testament and a couple of maybe half chapters, verses of the New Testament that link that story together. It's amazing how you can see how God is working over hundreds of years, over hundreds of different miles in different nations, different people, how he's weaved it all together, and there's a unity in the one story. And as we go through this, and Jen and I will preach from one of the stories per week with the overarching surrender. What are the stories of surrender that we see in the Bible? How did that impact that person? What did they do, and what was the result? And then we can look at that for our own lives and go, okay, what do I need to surrender? Is it my pride? Is it my fears? Is it my dreams? Is it my past? Do I have to surrender love? Do I have to surrender my health? Maybe that's something that 2019 we need to do. Is go, God, I don't know what the plan is. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what's going to happen with the situation I may be going through right now or feeling. But God, I just give it to you. I surrender. I can't do it in my strength. I surrender that to you. And allow God to work there. This song that we sung or listened to, we're going to sing it together to close. This I surrender. And I love this because that was the challenge that I had when reading through it, the scripture of, I want to know you more, God. And in order for me to know you more, because you've called me to grow in this relationship, I've got to give stuff up. I've got to give those things that maybe isn't the extraordinary, but is simply the ordinary, that I go, okay, I don't need to watch that tonight. I'm just going to spend time in my word, in the word and just prayer. And allow God to work in that. As we sing, I surrender, pray as you sing it. God, what do you want me to give up for you this year so that I grow in you? Why? Because you're worth it. Why? Because you're supreme. Why? Because you're above all things. You are worthy of that. I'm excited about 2019. And to be honest, I'd love to look back at the end of this year. And even though we may say, man, that was a roller coaster year. We may even say, man, that was a tough year. But wouldn't it be great to go, you know, yes, it was tough, but man, I'm closer to Jesus. Through it all, man, I'm closer to Christ. And that's the big picture, that it is well with me. Because I am well with him. Because I've given up that other stuff. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are supreme. That when we come to you, we're coming before a God that is before all things. That scripture, maybe just the portion is that you hold all things together. Maybe there's someone not feeling together right now. Maybe thoughts are not together. Maybe it's plans that aren't together. Whatever it might be, Father, just we surrender that to you and we trust you put it together in you. That ultimately we are going to be with you for always. So help us grow in who you are so that we can follow daily, be a light in the communities that we're in. Help us to surrender that ordinary stuff that we cling to so dearly. That really is just getting in the way of just growing in a beautiful relationship and fully knowing a peace, fully knowing an assurance of being in you because we're just clinging to stuff that's temporary. Whatever it might be, Holy Spirit, I ask that we just surrender that to you and you just move. If there's someone sitting here today going, nope, I got it, I'm fine, thank you. I'm comfortable, I don't need any more, I've done it. God, Holy Spirit, I ask that you move in that heart. That hardened heart, I pray that you soften. Because we should always be desiring to grow in your name. We should always, because it's all about you. So God, we surrender. Jesus, we surrender. We want to know more of you this year. Jesus.